Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lawson.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
He is sacked. He is brought down by Kiko Alonso. And there's your ball game.
That's game time right there. That's game time right there.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
10-yard line, 5, into the end zone. Touchdown, Leonis, my man!
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across western New York. Tonight, we've got the show back at One Bills Drive with the Buffalo Bills on a day off. They'll be back at St. John Fisher tomorrow. One of the standouts of the first two preseason games, veteran defensive tackle Landon Cohen joins us at 7:30. Why should you watch preseason football? Writer Kenneth Arthur of Rolling Stone magazine will tell us why at 8, and we'll check in the Dolphins with Chris Perkins of the South Florida Sun Sentinel at 8:30 tonight.
This is pandemonium!
At the 10, at the 5, heads to the end. CJ Spiller.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Here we go. We are live at One Bills Drive. We haven't been here in a week or so. Live at One Bills Drive for tonight's installment of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Thank you very much for tuning in. No practice at training camp today for the Buffalo Bills, so we didn't make the trip down there today either. We were there yesterday, however. We can talk about that. We, of course, want to talk a lot about the game on Friday night, even though it's a couple days ago. I have a couple of impressions from that game I'd be happy to share with you. Phone lines are open if you'd like to discuss. 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter as well at John Murphy Show. Let us know what you thought of the game on Friday night, the Bills in Carolina. What did you like? What did you not like? What are your impressions after a couple of weeks, a couple of games anyway, of watching these Buffalo Bills, these 2014 Buffalo Bills? Is there anything that strikes your eye as going pretty well? Anything that you think needs to be shored up before the regular season begins? We're still talking about, 3-4 weeks until the regular season opener on September 7th against the Chicago Bears. But two games down, three more to go. Give us your thoughts on the Buffalo Bills. 803-0550, the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Here's what I think. I'd like to bounce it off you. I do think this defense, this first-team defense, could be better than any of us anticipated. I mean, they could be ready to pick up right where they left off from last year. They had a pretty good year defensively last year. But I think the first-team defense in particular, and it's always hard in preseason, always hard to just boil it down to units, but the first-teamers on defense have played against first-teamers on the other team so far this year. And I think they've done remarkably well. Bills' opponents so far have scored 7 points in the first quarter of games so far, 16 points in the first half of games so far. I like that. I think things are going pretty well for that first-team defense. I think better than I anticipated it might be. A transition period into Jim Schwartz defense, if it's there, I haven't seen it. There did not appear to be a break-in period. New additions, Brandon Spikes, I think, has held up well. The guys behind him are particularly strong, I think, Preston Brown and even Ty Powell. We'll talk about him a little bit more tonight. New on defense? Jarius Wynn, I think, has had good moments, getting a lot of playing time at the defensive end spot. Nigel Branham has done a good job at the weak side linebacker spot where Kiko was supposed to play. I think that's the most impressive thing about the Bills' first two games. First team defense, what they've been able to do against opponents' first teams and been able to play, how well they've been able to play defense so far. What else do I like? I like the competition at running back. And that's another issue we should talk about tonight. What are they going to do with all these running backs? I mean, really, what are they going to do with all these running backs? I don't think it's a problem, but I think it's a nice situation to think about. When you look at the contributions from Bryce Brown and Boobie Dixon on Friday night in Carolina and think about putting that on the field against opponents, along with C.J. Spiller, along with Fred Jackson, I keeping in mind who's playing against who. Bryce and Boobie weren't really going against first-teamers for the most part the other night, but still, big contributions from them. Bryce Brown with some explosive moves, it appeared, out of the running back spot. Boobie Dixon with great power and energy, trying to desperately to get into the end zone Friday night against Carolina. We know what C.J. Spiller can look like. And by the way, C.J. appears to have his burst back, his stick his foot in the ground and turn it upfield. I saw that at least two or three occasions against Carolina, which is very good news for the Bills and their fans. And Fred Jackson is who he is, you know, a powerful, strong, between the tackles back who has a lot to offer in the running game and in the passing game, a reliable blitz pickup guy, a guy who can catch passes out of the backfield. There's a lot of talent in the running back room for these Buffalo Bills right now. And it's an interesting dilemma. I think the same could be said at wide receiver. Somebody asked me today, well, who's the starter? Well, they're all starters. I mean, the top three anyway. Mike Williams is a starter. Robert Woods is a starter. Sammy Watkins is certainly a starter. And, of course, Chris Hogan is the starting slot receiver. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for them. Chris Hogan coming off, really a breakout offseason for him is a chance to be, I think, a reliable slot receiver for the Bills. Not a problem, but I think a good opportunity with a ton of talent at the receiving spot, and I think we've seen that on display in these first two preseason games. Mike Williams has been a revelation the last few weeks. The Bills' veteran receiver, I think he's been outstanding the last couple of weeks at training camp practices in particular. Yesterday was a very competitive, tough practice with jawing going back and forth between receivers and running backs and defensive players. And after the practice, I had a chance to talk with Mike Williams about that aspect of yesterday's workout and just how it's working out with him and E.J. Manuel working on their chemistry.
I had about six touchdowns a day, so it's very competitive, man. We want to make it like that. We want to make it always competitive. We want them to compete so we can be our best when we get on Sundays.
On the other side of the ball, there are a couple of competitive guys, Aaron and Spikes and Corey Graham, so it almost raises the whole practice level up, it seems. Huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Going against them guys, man, you want to win every time so you can get in the locker room and talk stuff. So I can't wait to get in there. There's Corey Locker right by mine.
I had a thought about it. When we get to the games, there's a chance. I mean, and your record in the league shows this, and it seems like the catches you'll make will be meaningful catches. Like, you might not finish a game with 8 or 10 catches, but the ones you make are going to mean something. Touchdowns, big first downs. Is that the way your career's gone, do you think?
Oh, yeah. My mom always say, make them see it when they want it, when they supposed to see it. That's her, like, saying she always say to me. And it's like big first downs, touchdowns, them are the ones they see. They don't see the first play of the game slants or the second play of the game curl route. As soon as you catch that 3rd and 15 or tie and touchdown, that's the ones they remember. So it kind of seemed like that's how my career went.
And it seems like the more you get to work here with EJ and the other quarterbacks, but especially EJ, they're going to start to look to you down in the red zone, look for you in the end zone, and know that if they just put it your way, the chances are, you know, you got a better than even chance of coming up with it.
Oh, yeah. I always tell them 96% chance. The other 4% is their fault. I always tell you, man, throw it to the clouds, man. I'm going to find a way to bring it down.
Throw it to the clouds. How about that? And I think E.J. Manuel is starting to get that message. In fact, he talked about that yesterday. You can see on almost a daily basis the chemistry developing between Mike Williams and E.J. Manuel. And I asked this of Mike Williams yesterday. You may have heard the question. I really believe this. You know, at the end of the year, Mike Williams, to me, is going to be a guy who gets 3, 4, maybe 5 catches a game. They're all going to be meaningful catches, I think. They're all going to be first down catches and red zone catches and touchdowns. I think he's that kind of guy. He's not going to go out there and rack up 8 or 9 catches a game and end up the season with 75 catches, 85 catches. You know, at the end of the year, Mike Williams are probably going to have somewhere between 40 and 50 catches, and they're all going to mean something. Most of them are going to mean something. A very strong addition to the roster. It's great to see the chemistry developing between he and E.J. Manuel. E.J. Manuel talked about it yesterday, about finding Mike Williams both in the game on Friday night and again at practice on yesterday. Here's what E.J. said.
That's been great. Mike is truly, I know he's come out with that comment about throw it up in the clouds and he'll go get it. I mean, it's true. He's done it day in and day out. And he's been very consistent as far as tracking the ball, whether it's a fade or whether it's a deep ball or whether it's a post. I think a great example of that was how we did in the game. You know, the corner played off him a little bit, but I just stuck it on him. He went up and made a great catch. So having that as a security blanket at receiver is awesome for us. And Woody can do it. Sammy can do it, too. A bunch of those guys can go up and make big plays. But Mike has done an excellent job at the past 2 weeks, the past 2 or 3 weeks.
AJ, with Mike Williams, did you find maybe it was the last 2 weeks where you hit a point, like a threshold, where you said, all right, I see what he means.
Yeah.
I can put it up there.
Not necessarily. I think the work we've been doing after practice has really helped us. A lot of times that's the only way to get better at stuff, just to, take extra reps after practice when everybody else is leaving, take another 20 minutes to do some extra stuff down the red zone or out in the field. So it's paying off dividends for us.
Is a player like him someone that you felt like you really missed, just like that type of skill set?
Not necessarily. I think it's also me growing as a quarterback and just feeling comfortable putting the ball at a place where he could go get it. I think we've always had receivers who, you know, that's what they do. They're hungry for the football, but I think it's really myself also growing along with them and giving them the opportunity to go up and make the catch. That was something I really wanted to amp up in my game. I said that in one of our first press conferences, you know, from watching the film of those other QBs around the league. They give those guys opportunities to go up and make a catch, and they've been doing it.
E.J. Manuel talking about chemistry with Mike Williams and about developing that chemistry, and it's a process. How many times have we said that on the show over the last couple of weeks about Manuel and his development? A process. Going to have good throws, going to have some not good throws, going to have some good games and maybe some not good games. And the process is underway right now. It's kind of fascinating to watch when you watch those training camp practices and watch those preseason games. Give us your thoughts on preseason so far, two games. Is there anything that's got you worried about the Bills? Is there anything you really like, maybe something that surprises you? Is there anybody, is there any player who you think came out of nowhere to challenge? Give us a call, 803-0550, the number to call. Toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Your thoughts on preseason and what you think of these two games so far? A couple of tweets already on this, and we're talking about the embarrassment of riches at running back as well as wide receiver. So what are the Bills going to do with all those running backs? What are they going to do with all those wide receivers? Let's see, read a couple of tweets here. We're talking about Landon Cohen, I guess. High motor and gives us something to look forward to during the regular season. Great fallback if Marcel has more issues. That was in response to a tweet about Landon Cohen, and that was from John Shane. Scott Vandemortel says, keep all the running backs. Guys get hurt. Yeah, I'm saying keep them all too. I just don't know how they're all going to be used. Justin Gravestock, it's a good problem to be in, to have four capable NFL starting running backs on the roster. Bills for Life tweets, in baseball, you can never have enough starting pitching. In football, you can never have enough depth. Talking about the running backs. NY Sports Biz tweets, in cut Spiller or let Spiller loose, give Fred Jackson some touches and keep Brown involved in passing game, Dixon short yardage. Let Spiller loose, you mean let him go? I wouldn't do that. John tweets in, the competition will bring out the best in CJ. If not, Bryce Brown looks like he's on deck, ready to go. Well, give us your thoughts, what you think of the Bills running backs, the running back depth they have right now, and what do you think about preseason so far? Will Federpiece tweets, both sides of the ball look good against Carolina. I think it's a promising start with three games left to go. I do, too. Not great. Stuff to work on, absolutely. The short yardage goal line stuff, while not alarming, certainly is going to get some attention. Maybe already it has with the extra red zone work they did yesterday down at St. John Fisher College. But I just think first-team defense has been outstanding. I think the offense has been okay with some room to grow, and there's still three more preseason games to do it all in. Give us your thoughts on preseason so far about the logjam, at the backlog, if you will, at running back, and what are they going to do with all those backs? And the same maybe can be said at wide receiver. Phone lines open, 803-0550, the number. Toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter, at John Murphy Show. We're here until 9 tonight. We're here being One Bills Drive. We're here because the Bills were off today. We're going back to watch practice tomorrow morning and then coming back here to do the show tomorrow night. And then we're off to Pittsburgh for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Landon Cohen's going to join us at 7:30, the defensive tackle, the veteran. I guess you'd call him a journeyman defensive tackle. He'll be live with us at 7:30 to talk about his two preseason games. Going to talk about with Kenneth Arthur, a contributor and writer for Rolling Stone magazine, who has a theory on why you should pay attention to preseason football, why it's a great TV show. And we're going to get an update on the Dolphins from Chris Perkins of the South Florida Sun Sentinel. All of that coming up tonight between now and 9. But let's hear from you. The phone line's open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Yesterday's practice, competitive, feisty, tempers running a little bit hotter than normal. Why? I don't know. It all started before even practice began yesterday with some verbal sparring back and forth from offensive and defensive players. I talked to Aaron Williams along with a couple of other reporters after the workout yesterday, the Bills safety, and I asked Aaron Williams what the competitive spirit is like this year with the addition of guys, the importing of guys like Brandon Spikes and Corey Graham. I have some thoughts on that, but here's what Aaron Williams said about the competitive edge and how it's amped up with Brandon Spikes and Corey Graham.
And that's what they bring to the defense. Just like you said, they've been on great defenses where, you know, the attitude was they are the best defense, and that's what we wanted them to contribute to the team. And, you know, we're glad that we added them to the team, and that's what they bring to the team. And not only do they bring their skill set, but they bring their experience and their attitude. So that's what, one of the pauses that we have.
What do you think as you approach the workouts with the Steelers? That would be a very competitive situation, I would think, to have a whole other team on the other side.
Another dogfight. You know, we're tired of seeing the same people each and every day. We finally get to see somebody else. We get to see what our skill level is against another team and what people can do, you know, outside of our comfort zone. So it's going to be exciting week.
Aaron, how did that all go down in the beginning of practice? I mean, you guys were doing your thing. The running backs were doing their thing. The next thing, you all were at midfield together. What happened there?
Yeah, it's just one of those things where, you know, we want to show them that we're better than them. It's just a competitive thing. Like I said, again, it's nothing personal. It's just one of those things where the alpha dog, you know, who's going to be the bigger guy? So that's one of the things that we're trying to show off as far as secondary. We want to be the best. We're going to show that we're going to be the best.
Aaron Williams, Bills safety, not backing down. The competitive edge amped up. He said they're just trying to get better. He says we're not going to take any flack from anybody. When somebody jumps in your face, we're not going to let it go, even if that somebody happens to be on the same roster. Bills safety, Aaron Williams. Give us your thoughts on a couple of preseason games, what you've seen, what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to see with three more preseason games to come. 803-0550, the number to call, or from outside Buffalo, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's go to John in Alcott. Hi, John, you're on the air.
Yay, Murph. Yeah, I kind of agree with you about the defense. I think we're really headed in a good direction there. And two guys that I want you to talk about is Ty Powell. I saw some really nice work from him the other night. And Dixon's got a lot of fire in his belly. I'd like to see that. So maybe call on them two guys.
Yeah, love to. Yeah, two guys.
As a matter of fact, if Manuel can pull through and have a good season, we're going to the Super Bowl.
Okay, that's pretty optimistic. Thanks.
That's what I say.
All right. Thanks. That's some optimism there from John. I told somebody this, though. If EJ plays the way he played Sunday, and again, a limited exposure on the field, but if he plays like that, this is a playoff contender, I believe. I really believe that. Because they don't need him to fire it all over the field. They need him to be consistent more than anything. And he'll work on that. He is working on that. A work in progress. Two of my favorites to talk about, Ty Powell, who came to the Bills last October. He was on the Giants practice squad for the first half of last year. He was on Seattle's practice squad for about a year or so. He was a seventh-round pick of the Seahawks last year. And, you know, he's a young guy, 26 years old, who has hardly played in the league. Five games played with the Bills last year, made a couple of tackles. But they like him a lot, and you can see why. Got a very high-energy approach to the game. I think he can be a very valuable special teamer with the way he runs around the field. And he made some plays in Friday's game against Carolina, I thought. He did get banged up and has been held out of practice for a couple of days since then, and there's no update on when he might be back. But I like Ty Powell a lot. I think he is quality depth at one of the inside linebacker spots, and if nothing else, going to be a pretty good special teamer. Boobie Dixon is already one of my favorites with his approach and his intensity, and he's one of those guys who gets it amped up at practice and gets people going, fired up at practice and in the game. We talked to him after the game on Friday about trying to jump, leap into the end zone, and he did that, as you know, in the NFC Championship game against Seattle last year with success, trying to do it again. But he knows, he's, you know, I talked to him and Bryce Brown, both of them in the locker room Friday, about the competitive nature of their position. They know who's ahead of them on the roster. They know that C.J. Spiller is, you know, a thoroughbred just waiting to break loose, especially now that he's healthy. They know what Fred Jackson has done in this league. So they know their opportunities are going to be limited to play, and they're trying to make the best of it now. I think it's a very healthy, competitive situation at running back. Here is James in New York City. He's got a thought on Fred Jackson. What do you think, James?
Oh, John, just watching the first couple of games, is it just because CJ's so fast? I think he might have lost a half a step line span last weekend. He really kind of, it just didn't look like he was hitting the line.
Your phone's cutting out, James. I think you're talking about Fred Jackson, and I don't think I haven't detected that. I haven't seen that. And I don't. I think Fred Jackson is a different style of runner now. You know, he is a downhill, one-cut guy. He is bigger than he's ever been, and I think he's kind of a pounder between the tackles. With great, as Mark Kelso says, great contact balance. You can hit him, and he'll stay on his feet. Kelso was raving about Fred Jackson's vision the other day when we were talking. I don't know if it was on or off the air, how he sees things that a lot of backs don't see, maybe even things that C.J. Spiller doesn't see. Has he lost a step? I haven't seen it. I don't think so. I think he's got a role to play in this team, and that's kind of what he's been trying to do. Let's go to Sean in Dallas. Hi, Sean. Welcome. You're on the show.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I wanted to I wanted to talk about the offensive line, and with Cordy Glenn coming back to the mix, I really think watching Central Sean Trill Henderson looks like he's a starter. But I also wanted to kind of mention Chris Harrison. I was watching his game. If you go back and watch the game this week, he dominated. So I think that he's a starter as well. So, I mean, I think we got enough big bodies on this team. Go to the goal line stand where Buffalo doesn't get in there at the beginning of the game. Sean Trail Henderson knocked his guy into the end zone 2 yards. We can run behind him, and he should be making holes all day long. But bottom line, I think the Buffalo Bills are going to be better off this year. And I have faith in EJ, but I also have faith in the coaching staff. I think they're going to put us in a position where we're going to be a running team. And you look at Anthony Dixon, that guy is going to be our third and short bulldozer. He's going to be our goal line bulldozer. You know, we're going to make those third and shorts that and fourth and goals that we did not make last year or the year before. They're going to put EJ in a manageable position where he makes throws, but he doesn't have to be the Peyton Manning. He's going to be EJ Manuel, what the Buffalo Bills can offer, and 25 throws a game. But I think we lead the league in rushing, and that's going to be our avenue to winning with that big offensive line. That's all I got, John.
All right, good point, Sean. Thanks for calling all the way from Dallas. Yeah, you see a lot of the things I do. Chantrell Henderson has been really solid. Not perfect, but really solid in two preseason games. And Cordy Glenn slowly getting back into it the last couple of days at St. John Fisher. We'll see how hard they push him to, you know, play. I don't know that he'll play on Saturday night against Pittsburgh. We still might be a week or two away from Cordy Glenn returning to the lineup. But certainly Chantrell Henderson has made a case for playing time on either side of the line, right tackle, left tackle. Harrison's had an interesting camp with a lot of work at guard and now more and more work at left tackle over the last week or two. I don't know where they go with him. That bears watching because he does have the experience and the know-how. I think, he's pretty highly regarded as far as a good player on that offensive line. But I'm not sure what his place is yet. I'm sure he would like to know what his place is, too. I think there's some good things going on up front. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to a guy that has made some big plays happen on the defensive side of the ball for the Bills through the first two preseason games. He is a classic NFL journeyman, as the Buffalo Bills are one of six teams he's played for in his NFL career. And he's only been around for a couple years in the league. Landon Cohen has made some plays for the Bills defense. Standing by, he'll be up next with us on the show. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Tonight, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Coming to you tonight from One Bills Drive. We're heading back out to watch practice in the morning. We'll be here tomorrow night at One Bills Drive and then off to Pittsburgh for a few days. A couple of preseason games in the books. One of the standouts so far has been a defensive tackle that just was added to the roster after training camp began. And he's been around the National Football League for a while. Landon Cohen joins us live on the line right now. Landon, good evening. Thank you for being on the air with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Hey, man. How you doing tonight?
Okay. Tell me the story how you wound up here in Buffalo. The Bills were one day into training camp. They had one practice under their belt, and all of a sudden you show up. How did that go down?
I've been preparing all summer for a call. Usually that's what happens when you've been around a while. They'll give guys shots during camp and mini camp and all that thing. So I've been expecting the call. Didn't know from who or for what. So I just did my yoga, my Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and kind of ran my valet company until that day came. And I was had an event that night that they called, so I couldn't come in until the next morning. But you know, I came in and was ready to go.
The Bills are your sixth NFL team, right? You were with the Lions, Jacksonville, the Patriots, Dallas, the Bears last year, and now the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I've been a bunch of different places in my time, you know. It's all about just figuring out how to work.
Yeah, six teams in about 7 years. What were you confident that you were going to get the call? Because you're pretty deep into the offseason, into preseason, without a team.
I never really worry about stuff like that. I think with defensive linemen, if you're a bigger guy and you can run, you always get a shot when it's when someone needs D linemen to come in. As long as you're young and you you keep your resume good and you stay in shape, you'll be fine.
And when you talked about your off season, there are three different things I got to ask you there about. First of all, the yoga. Tell me about the yoga, how you got started on it, and how you use it to get ready to play football.
Yeah, well, I've been doing specifically Bikram yoga for about 5 years now. And it's 110 degrees in the room. And I really use that for the focus part of it, because you can focus in so much that you don't even feel the heat. So nothing else matters. It's just you and your mat. You have to look at yourself in the mirror the whole time, so that gets kind of strange at times. But, yeah, that's just the focus part of it.
When did you get started with yoga?
I got started with yoga about 5 years ago. So I've been doing that now for a while, and it just, like I said, it's one of those things where you just have to be determined to stay in the room. Like, that's one of the rules of Bikram, that you don't leave the room. So you get to the point sometimes where you feel like you don't know if you're going to make it out of the room, but you just find some determination to stay in.
So if you survive that, a session in Bikram yoga, I would imagine being out on the field on a hot day, even like yesterday, doesn't bother you at all.
Not too much. It's still a bit different because you're in yoga, you're doing more slow movements, and you know your heart. You figure out ways to lower your heart rate, raise your heart rate whenever you want to in the yoga room. So that helps on the football field, but it's nothing like 350-pound men in a goal line series landing on your back.
Yeah. All right. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. What's that all about, Landon? How long have you been doing that?
I've been doing that for about 6 months. I took that up. I started in January, as soon as the off season. We kicked off from Chicago last year. And I really went in just to do the boxing part of it, like the MMA side. Uh-huh. And I went to the room one day. I got on the mat, and this guy at about 165 pounds got me in a chokehold that I couldn't get out of in about 30 seconds. So I got kind of addicted to it, just figured out different ways to compete. And it's crazy just because it doesn't matter how big or how strong or how athletic you are. Guys who know what they're doing, they could whoop you just like that. So I kind of fell in love with actually getting beat. Made me want to come back and continue to do it.
And how do those skills, if at all, translate to the football field, Landon?
It's a lot of leverage and kind of a mind game that goes into it. So it's all about the setup in jiu-jitsu. So jiu-jitsu is mostly on the ground, and as a football player, you try not to be on the ground unless you're making a tackle. So it doesn't really translate that way, but it is a tough, tough, tough sport. Like, you'll get choked. And you have to, you can tap to it or you can try to find a way to get out of it. So just imagine someone really trying to choke you out and you trying to find a defense to whether you are you going to tap or are you going to try to figure out a way to get out of the choke.
Huh. We're on the line with Landon Cohen, Bills defensive tackle, just signed to the roster about 3 weeks ago, and already he's made an impact in a couple of games. The other thing you talked about during your offseason while you waited for the call was your business, a valet parking business at your home in South Carolina. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a valet parking company. We started actually in high school. Just kids and parents were like, oh, we're having a Christmas party. You guys want to do valet? And me and two of my buddies came up with the idea to just start it and go legit and grab some insurance and start grabbing contracts with restaurants back home and some contracts with the city. So it's a really good business. And, I do private events, restaurants, hotels, hospitals, all kind of things.
Now, do you actually park the cars, Landon?
I do. So from time to time, I do park the cars. When I first started, I would park. I probably went 3-4 months straight every single day parking cars, just so I knew the business inside and out. Anything that could possibly happen, I would know it. And then, I'm out there sometimes on the weekends with my drivers. I got young guys, college students. Sometimes they like to lay out of work, so I have to cover for them.
Yeah. Everybody who parks a car with a valet, of course, knows the scene from Ferris Bueller's Day Off when the valet guys
right.
Does that actually happen? Does that ever happen, Landon? Can you tell us any secrets?
No, not
not in your business.
Not in our company. Yeah, not in our company. I've tried to create a culture there where guys understand that, you know, you take care of people's things like it was your own, and you wouldn't want someone to take your car and enjoy riding and things like that. So, but that, you know, when you have a good management team around you, you kind of keep that stuff minimize that the problems with valet. Yeah. I mean, I've seen a lot of problems with other companies that are just, they blow my mind, but that's because once you get to a certain point, you kind of get hands off with it, and then that's when the things start happening.
Yeah. Around the line with Landon Cohen, Bills defensive tackle, number 76. Landon, you grew up in Spartanburg, South Carolina. How did you make your way to Ohio University up in the Mid-American Conference?
A guy who recruited a coach by the name of Everett Sands recruited my brother down at the Citadel. He left the Citadel and went to Ohio University and kind of just kept me in mind. And the rest was history. I sent him a tape, and he was like, kind of keep it a secret, but we want you to come to Ohio. So they were like my only Division I offer at the time, and I ended up committing there.
You must have had some encounters with the University of Buffalo Bulls during your years at Ohio.
Oh, yeah, a lot of good battles. They had some really, really good players out there. I saw a guy playing the other night for San Diego.
Yeah.
Oliver guy.
Yeah, Bo Oliver, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, man, this guy's tough. Of course they got – when I was there, it was Trevor,
yep.
Scott, and Starks.
Yep, James Starks, yeah.
Yeah, and Drew Willey was a quarterback. I think he's playing over in Canada.
He's in,
now,
yeah. So. It seems to me, just maybe I'm wrong about this. It seems to me sometimes the guys from the MAC look out for each other a little bit in the NFL. You know who each other is, maybe a little bit more than some of the other conferences out there.
Oh, absolutely. When you see a MAC guy on another team, it's you know, you always go up to him and you know pat him on the back, MAC conference, you know. Just give them that shout out, that love, and it's always fun to play against them too. I played against some old linemen, played against I think Greco a couple times. So it's always fun to do battle again. And then he played center last year. Well, actually guard at Washington. He's starting center now. Steinberger or something like that.
Okay.
But we did battle together. He played at Bowling Green. We did battle together a bunch, 4 years of it. So it was fun to get back out there and play against him again.
Landon, let me ask you about working into the National Football. Are you thinking of Brian Schwenke? Is that no, who am I thinking of Washington? Oh, Lichtensteiger.
Lichtensteiger. Yeah, Lichtensteiger.
Hey, you go to Detroit, seventh round, and you actually played as a rookie. Things must have started out pretty well for you when you got into the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when you're young, you kind of, especially being a seventh-round pick, you have a huge chip on your shoulder. It's a really, really strong guy, high motor, weight room. And what I enjoyed about the game was back then was actually physically imposing my will on another man. As you get older, you can't. These guys are getting younger, they're getting stronger. You can't do that anymore. So you have to figure out different ways to stay around.
Tell me about this brief stint you had with the Patriots at the end of the 2010 season. You played a couple of games. I think you played against the Bills, right? In one of those games.
Yeah, I did. I think I started that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it was fun. You know, playing for Bill Belichick and Pepper Johnson, who's now my coach here, just getting out there and just kind of letting you do your thing.
Do you think Pepper had something to do with you at least being on the Bills' radar screen?
I don't know. I think that's, you know, in the scout department and personnel department, I think Coach Pep does a good job with just getting the best out of the guys that he gets. I don't think he goes out and says, hey, I want this guy.
Right.
You know.
Hey, Landon, you've been here, as we said. You signed July 21st, so you're 3 weeks in. You got to feel like you've made a pretty good impression in your first 3 weeks, your first two preseason games with this Buffalo Bills team.
Yeah, I guess I'm one of those guys. I never get too high, I never get too low. I only think that I've been doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. As a defensive tackle in the NFL, you're supposed to make tackles. You're supposed to be accountable to your teammates. So it's not like it's anything extraordinary.
You're playing on a unit, a defensive line unit, that sent three guys to the Pro Bowl last year. There's a lot of talent in that defensive line meeting room, isn't there?
I'm telling you, man, just watching the film sometimes and watching those guys. Now, they do some unbelievable things that, you know, you can't believe a guy that big, you know, can move that way. Or
who are you thinking of, Marcel? Marcel Darius mostly? Or?
Marcel, oh, of course. Yeah. Marcel, this guy is like, when I first saw him move, I was like, geez Louise, you know. But, and you know, Cal's a big, fast man, too. You know, and Mario's also a big, like a, you know, a 290-pound defensive end that can run like the wind. And then you got Jerry over there who's smaller, but he's just like a fire plug. So,
hey, Landon, last question. What do you think of this trip to Pittsburgh coming up and the joint practices with the Steelers this week?
It's going to be fun. We got I think we play them at the end of the week. So
yep.
We'll be looking forward to, playing like three games. You know, in 1 week.
It'll be fun to watch, Landon. We thank you for making time for us tonight, and we'll see you down there in Rochester tomorrow morning. Thanks.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
You too. Landon Cohen, number 76 for the Buffalo Bills. Interesting story. He was just waiting and knew he'd get the call, and he did. Signed by the Bills July 21st and played in a couple of preseason games. And let's face it, he's made his mark in a couple of preseason games already. Landon Cohen, number 76 on the Bills roster. We're going to take a break, come back with more. We'll get to your phone calls when we return as well. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
What a delight to talk to Landon Cohen. Really delightful. Jay Harris, producer, wouldn't you agree? I mean, just what a great perspective. He knows, you know, I call him a journeyman, and that's not an insult. He's a journeyman means a guy who is learning his trade, plying his craft. It doesn't have anything to do with journeys, by the way, but just a pro. And I think Landon Cohen is a pro's pro, trying to win a spot on this Buffalo Bills roster.
And the way he's gotten there, too, you know, applying Brickham yoga,
yeah.
which I've heard is, I've never done it. My wife does it. But, I mean, you're in a hot room, and I can understand what he says when you have to keep your focus not to jump out of that room. And then the jiu-jitsu, and then the valet parking. I mean, he's disciplined, right?
Yeah, he's got a lot going on. And he's made some big plays for the Bills in the first couple of preseason games. A guy to watch moving forward, Landon Cohen. Here is Jack in California with a call. Jack, hello. Where are you in California, Jack? Where are you?
John, thanks for having me.
Where are you calling from?
San Francisco area.
Okay. What's up tonight, Jack? Good to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you. I was a little disappointed in Hackett's play calling in the red zone. You know, just because I think so much of this preseason for us is about EJ's development, and we're hearing all that stuff about how they're doing extra red zone work in training camp, and EJ's making, like, some nice end zone throws there. But when it's game time and, you know, they get into the red zone, all they did was run the ball. I'm not saying that, like, strategically, that I think that was the right or wrong thing to do. I'm just saying from a fan perspective,
mm-hmm.
I would like them to see them put it in EJ's hands.
Yeah, I mean, they are a running team.
Throw the ball down there.
Yeah, Jack, they are a running team. There's no question about that. They ran the ball more than any other team in the NFL last year. And those short yardage plays, they want to, I think, develop, you know, the mentality like we will overpower you when we're in short yardage and goal line. A two-yard line run that Fred Jackson got stuffed and then a little bit later on. But that's the mentality they're trying to develop. I don't know if it would have gone that way if it were a regular season. I mean, they probably would have even thought about a field goal try down there on fourth down. I don't know if they might not have tried something else in a regular season game in an effort to get in the end zone. But they do want to develop a physical mentality, especially down in goal line situations. We're talking about Landon Cohen a minute ago. Doug Marrone was asked about Landon Cohen at his news conference yesterday.
He's been around a lot, and it's, you know, looking just for that right situation for him to make that team and make plays. And he's made some plays for us, so he just needs to continue to show that he can make more plays, and he'll have an opportunity to make this team. We have a lot of football left, but he's quick off the ball. He gives great effort. He's done a very good job.
But he's overmatched in terms of size, but then he really isn't, right? I mean, it looks like he wins enough battles.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I guess you can say the same about Kyle, you know, just the stature of those guys. But, you know, don't fall asleep on them. You know, you can't fall asleep on those guys. I say it all the time. They're the reason why those guys put an NFL uniform on. And those guys are just relentless, and they go about their business like a professional. So it's tough. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are if you just looked at him, you say, oh, this guy should win just on size. But that's not what happens. Leverage is a big part of this game.
That is head coach Doug Marrone talking about Landon Cohen, who we just talked with on the show a minute ago. And he talked about leverage too, Landon Cohen, about how the Brazilian jiu-jitsu helps him with leverage. And Marrone, who understands line play as well as anybody, talks about leverage as well, being a big part of success down there, offensive or defensive line. Landon Cohen, as I said, an interesting guy to talk to. And he's had a couple of interesting games. Bears watching, moving forward to see what he can do. All right, next hour, we're going to talk more. And if you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to your phone calls next hour. What you liked about what you've seen in the first couple of preseason games, what you'd like to see the Bills do better. Give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. We're going to talk next hour with Chris Perkins of the South Florida Sun Sentinel about the Dolphins. They're going to sign Brady Quinn to a contract, a backup for Tannehill. And coming up also, we're going to talk about preseason football and why it makes for compelling television. We'll let our guests make that case when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like this kind of party, baby.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the show, we're going to check in on the Dolphins a little bit later on. Chris Perkins from the South Florida Sun Sentinel will join us at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk to a writer, a contributor for Rolling Stone magazine, a guy who covers pro football, Kenneth Arthur is going to join us a little bit later on to talk about why you should watch preseason football. We want to know what you've seen from the Bills in preseason so far. Phone lines open, 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. What you like about Bills preseason so far, two games in? What you like to see him do better at? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Here's Fred and Buffalo. Fred, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hey, John. I was just wondering. I thought we got Booby Dixon for goal line situations. I wondered why Nate didn't put him in on that first quarter.
Well, I think that, you know, he put him in the, what, third quarter. He was down there in the goal line. I think, you know, they're kind of portion out reps and carries for the backs as much as they can, as this, you know, in the preseason evaluation mode. I think, you know, it's going to be a totally different game when we're in the regular season. I think Booby does well down there in the goal line. I think Fred Jackson has a record of some success down there as well. So I don't have a problem with that. I mean, it's experimentation time, Fred, right? It's preseason.
Right, but I just, you know, I thought, you know, especially because of that, I thought they'd want to see what he could do. And, I mean, CJ's hit plenty of problems, and Fred had some last year too, getting stopped on third and fourth down. So I thought that was why they brought Booby in, jump up, get a touchdown at the start of the game, and get it rolling.
Yeah, well, I think it's just a question of playing time. You know, I think it's just a question of how they want to get everybody, work everybody through there, and see them in a variety of situations too. But I don't think it's much more than that. I don't think there's any anything else going on there. Why should you watch preseason football? Some people have wondered how good a show it is. I mean, those of us who are kind of attached to it watch a lot of preseason football, and Bills fans watch Buffalo Bills football. But why should you watch preseason football on TV? If you subscribe to the NFL Network, there's a game virtually every night through the early part of the week anyway. But why should you waste your time, spend some time on preseason football? Well, that's the subject of an article written by Kenneth Arthur, who is a contributor to Rolling Stone. He says, it's not TV, it's the NFL. Why you should watch preseason football. Kenneth Arthur joins us live on the line right now. Kenneth, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm great. Why should we watch preseason football? A lot of people think it's meaningless exhibition games. What do you think, Kenneth?
Well, I can't argue with the fact that it is meaningless exhibition games and the results don't matter. But you know, in my opinion, television is it's at an all-time high right now in terms of the quality of TV that they're putting out there. However, most of those seasons are down. People still want to watch TV. I think that, you know, NFL preseason, it's got some of that drama that, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, are almost 40% of these guys are going to be cut. You know, these guys are playing for their lives. You get to see some guys that you will not get the chance to see during the regular season. So that's maybe your one chance to take a look at Jeff Toole or something like that. So take advantage while you can, I think.
Yeah, I get that. I've often said that pro football, even preseason version of pro football, is without a doubt the best reality TV. I mean, there's real life drama on there every night, every game, 32 teams.
If you're talking, there's only one NFL, and then you get there are other people trying to compete with, like, the Arena Football League, Canadian Football League, and really preseason football, even though, you know, you didn't get, like, this last week, you're not going to get Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, you know, Drew Brees, a lot of these big names sitting out. It's still a much better product. If you just want to watch a football game, it's a much better. It's this next closest thing you can get to an NFL game, and it's not just because some of these guys are, you know, great athletes. I mean, they're all amazing athletes, but you're not going to get a lot of the big names. And no, the results don't matter. But a lot of people would say that the results of a CFL game don't matter either.
Yeah.
And that's maybe just, you know, that's harsh, but it's the NFL, and you know, hopefully at this point, you know, and weeks 2 and 3. You're going to get a lot of starters playing. You know, 4 is sort of a lull again. But again, when you get into week 4, that's some guys literally playing for their NFL lives. It's going to be their last chance.
From reading, Ken, I'm sorry to interrupt. From reading your piece in Rolling Stone, it sounds like you watch a lot of TV, right? I mean, you said this is a golden age of good television right now.
Oh yeah, I'm obsessed. And I managed to fit in a lot of football and a lot of television. And, you know, I'm single and that shows. So, you know, I get plenty of time to just sit there and binge watch.
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as preseason football goes, you know, it's been from everything else that happens between February and August. You know, they televise so much of it, the combine, mini camp, training camp, summer camp. I don't care. Like, all that stuff, anything rounds 2 to 7, of all that stuff they televise, I don't care. I like the first round of the NFL draft. But other than that, it's 6 months. You're just waiting for another football game. So when preseason football comes in, it's like, I'll take it. Whatever it is, I need my hit. Just send it straight into my veins. I just want football.
I don't watch quite as much TV as you, but you make mention of a show that's currently my favorite on HBO, The Leftovers. And you kind of
favorite show?
Well, yeah, right now it is. I mean, I'm a big fan of Boardwalk Empire, but right now I think The Leftovers is compelling, and in some respects, it's more compelling than some preseason football games.
Right.
No,
well, I'll say I watched The Leftovers. I haven't seen the last episode. No spoilers.
Okay, I'll be careful.
But The Leftovers, it's just so, like, I'll say that it's more intriguing than most shows, but it's got to have some payoff towards the end of the first season. Otherwise, I'll just check out, because, you know, I get into these shows and I'm like, oh, maybe the next episode will be like the one where, but it doesn't, I don't know if The Leftovers necessarily pulls me in. When it has like one of those episodes that they've had a few times this season where it's like they're introducing a character that has never even been discussed before, and then you get to see their story, that's sort of like Lost-esque, you know, and then it's like, who is this person? I'm interested. What do they have to do with it? You know, what's happening? But at a certain point, just like with Lost, you're just like, okay, like, I get that there's a mystery. Give me something, you know.
Yeah.
Like Twin Peaks. It's like second season of Twin Peaks. We're like, okay, we're out. You know, you can only hold our attention for so long until we're going to give up to you. You know, it's like, you know, watching like last season's Falcons or something like that, where you're thinking at some point they're going to turn it around, and then they never do, and it's like, why did I just waste my time?
Are you in fact a Falcons fan, Kenneth?
Oh, as a matter of fact, I've never felt as good. You know, coming from me to you as a Bills fan, I'm a Seahawks fan, and I would happily welcome you into the club of, you know, sad, you know, perennial losers into perennial winners. It feels good to finally be a winner. And I root for the Bills as far as AFC goes. I like the Bills. But I also mentioned in my article that, it's another sad story when, the Bills draft a good player and then he leaves in 4 years. I don't want to see that keep happening to you guys. I didn't like it when Jai Rutherford left. So for me personally, I'd like to see the Bills do well. But happily, I'm a Seahawks fan.
I got you. In fact, I've read some of your other stuff. You almost have like a man crush going on with Russell Wilson, right?
Oh, it's more than a man crush. It's man love. This is, I have the Seahawks. I love Matt Hasselbeck, but we have, I have respect for the guys that brought it in the beginning with Jim Zorn. But just pure unadulterated love. Russell Wilson is the first real franchise quarterback that we've ever had in over 30 years. He's legitimate. And I believe that he's just on the beginning of, what could be, an all-time great career. He's had some of the, not the all-time great career, but very few people have gotten off to this good of a start after 2 years, yeah. And it's not just the defense.
Again, back to the issue, why should people watch preseason football, Kenneth? I actually had a conversation with my adult son this morning who said, and he's a huge Bills fan, but he said, I can't really plug in yet to these preseason games. What would you tell him? Why should he pay attention? Why should any NFL fan pay attention to these preseason games?
Well, it's, for me personally, it's just like with, with television watching, I like to be plugged in. I like to be informed. I like to be the most informed guy. I'm a completist. I like to know as much as I possibly can. I think that, when you come in to week one and, some of these guys are going to be unknown stars that, like, if it's in your fantasy league or whatnot, that it's this guy that comes in week one and you're like, I've never heard of this guy. This is some of the stuff where it's like, this is how Jimmy Graham got started. This is how, some of these other guys got started that people start the rumblings right now. This is the time when rumblings are starting. As a matter of fact, I'm drawing a blank right now, but you can fill it in for me. The Bills' number three running back, coming up right now.
Bryce Brown?
Fred Jackson.
CJ Spiller, Bryce Brown, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's looking good.
Yeah.
And this is a guy that you want to pay attention to. I liked him in Philadelphia. There's some kinks to work out there, but anything happens to the one or the two, or if Marone just wants to work him in, this is the time to take a look at Bryce Brown and see what's going on. This is the time to watch Sammy Watkins, because guys like Sammy Watkins are going to get plenty of PT. They need to get warmed up, and you're going to see Sammy Watkins. He doesn't care if it's preseason, regular season. There's going to be some plays that just make your jaw drop. So I would definitely say that, at least your favorite team, you got to be tuning in every week. Get to know who these guys are so that when the regular season comes on, you're informed and you can talk about them and feel like the smartest guy in the room. That's my opinion.
I agree with your opinion. Kenneth, thank you very much for being on with us tonight. I enjoy your work in Rolling Stone, and maybe we'll talk again sometime.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Kenneth Arthur is a contributor, a writer for Rolling Stone, and he's got an article up that says it's not TV, it's the NFL, and why you should watch preseason football. Pretty good stuff. Pretty funny stuff, too, is the rationale for watching preseason football. We know Bills fans watch a lot of preseason football. We talk to them here every night. We've got people on the line who have some observations after a couple of preseason games, including Larry in Auburn, New York. Hi, Larry. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
Listen, I've been, a Bills lover since Jack Kemp, and I'm just going to say, first of all, the NFL needs a uniform contract for all the Jills and all the cheerleaders. Quit this crap of, making them pay for their own uniforms. And we need to put a complete unified face on Bills football. People have been so soured and so negative for so long. Look, you can't always have Flutie Flakes and Kelly Crunch and Mario's, okay? The bottom line is that we are going to the Super Bowl this year. I'm predicting 13-3. Last year I predicted 12-4, but, it didn't happen.
It did not happen. All right, thanks, Larry. It's two callers tonight who predict Super Bowl for the Bills, Jay. Two callers, one two-point preseason win. And two callers tonight are talking the Bills in the Super Bowl. I'm not saying they're wrong. I think it's a little out there at this early stage.
No, but you'll get this every year.
After a two-point preseason win.
No, but every year you're going to get somebody that's – I can see it. They're going to go through the schedule and go win,
yeah.
win, win, loss, win, win, yeah. win. I do it. I've had them at 10-6, 11-5 for the last 15 years. So
let's go to Richie in Florida. Richie, where in Florida are you?
Right now I'm in Deerfield Beach listening to my beloved John Murphy show.
Oh, thank you, Richie. That's awfully nice of you.
Actually, wanted to pay you a compliment. I wanted to say you're probably one of the best non-biased journalists out there. I mean, every time I hear you talking to somebody about anything, it just seems to be, you know, truly intent and nothing swayed. I don't know. I enjoy it.
Thank you.
But my observation I just wanted to say real quick is on EJ. He's one of those guys that he's just a gamer. He gets in the game. He's going to blow the first half, but when he gets into that second half and he starts clicking in and getting in the zone, the guy can win you some games. I really truly believe it, but I don't know. I think the practice scrutiny and all that other stuff, too, he's going to have throughout his career. I'm going to hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks, Richie. Yeah, good point about EJ. I do think he was under – we talked about this on the show a week or two ago now about the first week or so of training camp and the intense scrutiny about every pass. There was a sequence yesterday at practice at training camp where EJ threw a great pass into the end zone that he let Mike Williams go up and get. And it was right on the money. He threw it like a laser. It was thrown extremely well. Mike Williams went and got it in the middle of the end zone, touchdown. They were working on red zone stuff. And then the next play, EJ threw a shorter pass looking for Robert Woods, and he missed kind of low down around his knees. And I thought, that's where we are with EJ right now. And they're working on that, the consistency of it. I do think that's what the focus is, to get him to be more consistent, to make throws on a consistent basis that people can catch. And it's better now than I think it was a year ago, and maybe even better than it was a couple of weeks ago. But it is a process. We've said that a lot on the show. It is a process. And they continue to work through the process and work with EJ and the rest of the offense and try to get him where they need him to be to win games. Let's take a look back at the Friday night's game, the Bills and Carolina on Friday night. We've got some radio highlights. Normally, we do this on the Monday after regular season games, and this is our first radio show since the Friday night game. So just a little highlight, recap highlight of the Bills and the Carolina Panthers. Bank of America Stadium, Charlotte, North Carolina. Last Friday night, 79 degrees at kickoff. Very humid. Thought it was going to rain. It never did. The Bills got the opening kickoff, started at their own 20-yard line, and right away, C.J. Spiller was making plays.
First and 10 from the 20. First play from scrimmage, draw play. This is C.J. Cuts to the left, has room to the 25. Breaks a tackle at the 30 and brought down at the 33-yard line. Second and 8 at the 36-yard line. I formation, manual under center, the snap. Play action fake. Sets up to throw, fires a strike downfield, caught by Sammy Watkins. At midfield, and he goes down at the Carolina 49-yard line. Third and 3 from the Panthers 43. Shotgun snap. EJ looks, plants his foot, guns it downfield. Hogan's open, makes the catch at the 25, and he is wrestled out of bounds at the 12-yard line. Oh, what a throw, what a catch. What a great play for the Bills. A 32-yard pickup. Chris Hogan was wide open. Second and 6. Bills at the Panthers 7. Snap, they're going to run again. Fred, up the middle, inside the 5, brought down at the 2-yard line. Third and 1, the Bills at the 2, the snap, and the give goes to Fred Jackson, buries his head, driving forward, he is not going to get there. He is dragged down at the 1-yard line, but does he have enough for a first down? That's going to be close to a first down for Fred Jackson. I formation, fourth and 1 at the 2. EJ under center, turns, hands it off, Fred Jackson driving forward, may not get there. Greg Hardy pushes him back, it's going to be close, but I don't think so. I don't think so. Greg Hardy, quick off the line of scrimmage. The fifth-year player out of Mississippi, the Carolina offense comes out on the field, and the Buffalo offense is stopped on downs.
At the 2-yard line, they came up empty at the 2-yard line. 10 plays, 78 yards, 4 minutes, 37 seconds. They went for it on 4th and 1 at the 2, and the Bills came up empty. So they're scoreless until about 6 minutes left in the first quarter when Dan Carpenter hits a 19-yard field goal, a drive that went 13 yards after the Bills started at the Carolina 32. And then the Panthers took over late in the first quarter. They had a first down at their own 18.
The snap, Anderson wants to throw, sets up deep, fires to the near side, and it is caught by his tight end Greg Olsen. Up around the 31-yard line, Corey Graham makes the tackle, a pickup of 13 yards. So now it's 3rd and 5. Panthers at the Buffalo 48-yard line. Bills up 3-0 with 2:40 left first quarter. Eric Anderson in the shotgun. He's got Barner off his right shoulder, and they have 3 wideouts on the field. The snap. Anderson looks to his left, locked that way, pumps once. Now he's pressured. Darius trying to run him down. He's going to run at the Buffalo 45, and he steps out of bounds at the Buffalo 41-yard line. A first down for Carolina. A 7-yard scramble around the left side for quarterback Derek Anderson. It's a critical play here. Third and one at the Buffalo 32. I formation. Anderson takes play action fake. Wants to throw. Has time. Now he's going to run. Anderson at the 35, at the 30, has the first down, and he steps out of bounds at the Buffalo 28-yard line. First down, Carolina at the Buffalo 29-yard line. This drive started all the way back at their own 18. Anderson in the shotgun. The snap. Bills rush four. Anderson going for it all, looking downfield for Benjamin. He gets tripped up, and he makes the catch for the touchdown. He was slipping and sliding and falling to the ground, and Kelvin Benjamin made a spectacular catch as he got behind Stephon Gilmore for the Carolina Panthers touchdown.
A 29-yard touchdown play. The rookie first-round draft pick from FSU, Kelvin Benjamin. Really good catch as he was going down to the ground, and he got by Stephon Gilmore. They missed the extra point, so it's 6-3. Carolina on top as we move through the second quarter. With about 6 minutes to play in the second quarter, the Panthers had the football. They had Matt Blanchard in playing quarterback, and he was having a heck of a time, especially on this third and 14 play from his own 44.
Third down here, third and 14 at the 44, the snap. Blanchard going to throw. Sets his feet. Now pressured. Ball comes out. Loose ball. The Bills may have it. They do. Up around. No, the Panthers recover at the 25. Oh, they knocked the ball out. The Buffalo has it. They do. Buffalo has the football. They have the football. Manny Lawson comes up with it at the bottom of the pile. Down at the 28-yard line. It is second down for the Bills. Second and 10. And the line of scrimmage is the Carolina 28-yard line. The snap. They'll run it. Bryce Brown finds a crease up the middle, makes a tackle at the 20, cuts to his left, spins away from another tackle, and he goes down at the 14-yard line. Bryce Brown with a spectacular 14-yard pickup. Backs in the eye, Dixon the tailback, Lewis under center, the snap. Booby Dixon driving forward into the end zone, touchdown. Anthony Booby Dixon, touchdown Buffalo.
Yeah, just an eye formation, and just a lead play. Frank Summers comes up and drops his shoulder on A.J. Klein, and then Dixon runs off to his right hip and finds some running room up inside a little space and able to push it into the end zone. Really impressive drive by the Bills.
1 yard touchdown run to cap off a 28-yard scoring drive in 2 minutes, and the Bills led it then 10-6. They got a field goal at the end of the first half, and Buffalo took a 13-6 lead into the locker room at halftime. Second half, it stayed that way until later on in the third quarter. Then to the fourth quarter we go, and Carolina had a big play on the Carolina had the football, rather, at their own 48-yard line when the Bills made a big play, a pretty good play by linebacker Ty Powell.
Panthers have the football second and 10 from their own 48-yard line. Joe Webb takes turns and hands it off, and Barner is wrapped up and dropped right at the line of scrimmage. There's Ty Powell again making the tackle, the second-year player out of Harding College, seventh-round pick of Seattle a year ago, and spent most of the season on their practice squad. The Bills signed him, and he played 5 games for Buffalo last year. And a lot to like about Ty Powell.
Boy, there is. He is what they call a player, man. That guy comes to play every day. And
it is first down to the Buffalo 39-yard line. The Bills sitting on a 7-point lead early in the fourth quarter. Joe Webb in the shotgun. The snap. Blitz coming. Webb fires quickly to the right side, and it is caught by Tavarius King, and King heads to the sideline. He is brought down by McElwain, and there's a late flag on the play at the Buffalo 31-yard line. They're going to tack on some more yardage here after an 8-yard gain?
Yeah, I think they are. I don't think he did anything flagrantly.
Kamal McElwain, unnecessary roughness, the first-year player out of Newberry College. First and goal from the 6 for Carolina. The snap, and the give goes to the tailback trying to find his way into the end zone. He will get there. Darren Reeves going sideways into the end zone for the Carolina touchdown. They can tie it up with an extra point. 2-point attempt for Carolina, with Joe Webb under center and Reeves the tailback. Three wideouts on the field. Two to the left, one to the right, the snap. Webb's going to throw it to the flag on the right side. It is caught down there in the corner, and he is out of bounds. Incomplete. Marvin McNutt could not bring it down, so the try for two fails. And the score, thankfully, is not tied.
Two-point conversion fails. The Bills up 13-12 early in the fourth quarter. That one play by Ty Powell was a pretty big play, and we've named Ty Powell our advanced alarm defensive player of the week. Two tackles on defense, one tackle on special teams, and one pass defense. Ty Powell, the defensive player of the week for the Buffalo Bills. Panthers were down by a point. The Bills got the ball back again. Buffalo had Jeff Toole in to play quarterback, and they had a first down at their own 34-yard line.
First down for the Bills at the Panthers' 34-yard line. Backs in the eye. Tool under center. Two receivers left side. The snap. He turns and hands it off, and darting up the middle goes Bryce Brown, finds a big crease inside the 30, inside the 25, brought down at the Carolina 22-yard line. Bryce Brown picks up 12 more yards. I formation again, first down at the 23, and they'll run Bryce Brown again. He cuts to the right at the 20, at the 15, and he outruns the safety to the boundary. He goes out of bounds at the 9-yard line. Josh Thomas trying to give Anderson Russell trying to give chase. And he got it down to the 9-yard line, a 14-yard pickup, and another Buffalo first down. Second and goal from the 9-yard line. Backs again in the eye. Tool under center. Takes it. Turns. Hands it off. Here goes Booby Dixon. Airborne into the end zone. Do they rule it a touchdown? Not yet. No, they say he was down just outside the goal line. An 8-yard run for Anthony Booby Dixon flying through the air. Third and goal from just outside the goal line. I mean inches. Over the goal line. The Bills, with 6.5 minutes left in this fourth quarter, have a one-point lead over the Carolina Panthers. And they are ready to go. Evan Rodriguez, the fullback. Anthony Booby Dixon, the tailback. Tool under center. Takes, hands it off. Dixon trying to dive over, and this time he is stopped short. He is stopped in the backfield. A nice play in there by Coney Ealy, who's had a whale of a game for Carolina. Fourth and goal from the one. A legitimate one-yard run now would do it. The snap. Tool's going to throw it. Fires right side, and it is caught. Chris Summers, touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. Jeff Tool to Chris Summers.
Well, working against Dockery, and he was in the slot. That's a play they ran effectively last week as well, Murph. But Tool sprints a little bit to his right, and that was a really difficult catch by Summers, the Liberty product. And he goes down to get it right at the goal line. I don't even know if he was in when he caught it, but he rolled into the end zone for the touchdown.
And with the extra point, the Bills went up 20-12 in the fourth quarter, about 6 minutes left to play. Carolina made it close. Panthers, with a minute 43, had a third down play at the Buffalo 31.
It is third down, third and 10. Panthers at the Buffalo 31, the snap. Four-man rush. Webb scans the field, fires into the end zone, got a man there, touchdown. Touchdown, Carolina. Brandon Williams open deep down the middle of the field for the Carolina touchdown. Two-point conversion attempt with a minute 37 to go and a two-point Buffalo lead. Webb, the quarterback, takes the snap, rolls right, fires right, incomplete. Thank goodness, incomplete.
So that made it 20-18, Bills on top. Panthers would recover an onside kick, and the Panthers had a first down at the Buffalo 42-yard line.
Joe Webb takes the snap. Blitz coming. Quick pass. It is bobbled. It is intercepted by the Bills at the 30-yard line. It is Jonathan Meeks who tiptoes out of bounds at the Carolina 40-yard line. Pass intended for Marcus Lucas off his hands right into the midsection of Meeks.
And a couple of interceptions. Meeks had one for the Buffalo Bills and an earlier interception in the game by Denora Searcy. And the Bills hang on for a 20-18 win over the Carolina Panthers at Bank of America Stadium, preseason game number 2. Little review of what went on there Friday night. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more, including your phone calls. The line's open at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Take a look at the Dolphins as well. We're going to talk with Chris Perkins, who covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Bills are going from Pittsburgh to Pittsburgh this week. Pittsburgh for practice tomorrow, 8 a.m. You're welcome to attend. No ticket necessary. Just show up. And then down to the Berg tomorrow night. We'll be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from downtown Pittsburgh. Getting set to watch preseason game number 3. Of course, a lot of people have this date circled on their calendar, Sunday, September 14th, the Bills' home opener against the Miami Dolphins. We like to check in with our cousins around the AFC East on a regular basis, and joining us on the line right now, we welcome Chris Perkins, who covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Chris, thanks for doing this. We always appreciate when you come on with us, and we appreciate it much tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, John, it's always a pleasure to come on there, man. I enjoy the city of Buffalo, as you know. I told you I got relatives there, so I got love for Buffalo.
You're probably going to have to come up with some tickets for September 14th, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. As a matter of fact, I probably am.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting that.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on? I see the report tonight that Brady Quinn is going to be signed to a contract by the Dolphins.
Yeah, and you know, there's some. You know, we asked Joe Philbin this afternoon. If he could say that Matt Moore was going to be his backup quarterback, and he said, it's a little bit too early to say for certain, which kind of raised some eyebrows. you know, so we'll see what happens here. If Brady Quinn is going to be the number two quarterback, number three quarterback, but it's an interesting development.
What happened with Matt Moore? I always thought he was a more than capable backup quarterback.
Yeah, and Matt Moore, you know, he's a guy who, you know, you always thought that he was one of the best backup quarterbacks in the NFL, and you know, I know that, you know, he's going to be making $4 million this year. He had a shoulder problem earlier in camp. He missed some time last week, but he was out there throwing today. He looked fine, so we'll see. We'll see, but yeah, a little bit surprising, though. I always thought Matt Moore, of all the people on that team, had his job locked up.
Yeah, very interesting. We're talking with Chris Perkins, who covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. I would not think that Ryan Tannehill has anything to worry about. And, in fact, he had a pretty good first outing, even in a losing effort against Atlanta the other night, huh?
Yeah, he was sharp, you know. And here's the thing that you saw out there, really, is that Bill Lazor, the new offensive coordinator, the former Philadelphia Eagles quarterbacks coach, he developed Nick Foles last year. He's bringing in an offense to the Dolphins that spreads the field and relies a lot on tempo. And the Dolphins have said in the past that they wanted to play fast, but they are actually doing it now. They're out of the huddle. They're up to the line of scrimmage. There's pre-snap motion. Like I said, they're spreading the field, and the ball is coming out of Ryan Tannehill's hand fast into the hands of the playmakers, and hopefully for the Dolphins, you know, what they've designed is that it's one move on somebody because you're one-on-one in space, and then you beat him and you're off to a 10 or 12-yard gain. And the other thing that does is it minimizes the importance of that offensive line and their deficiency in pass blocking. Hmm. So far, so good. We'll see if this holds up, but the look of it early in training camp and on Friday against Atlanta was pretty good.
You know, I guess we never talked about this, Chris, but when the Dolphins had Tannehill and they brought in Mike Sherman to be offensive coordinator, the deal was, you know, he was Tannehill's college coach, right? And that was going to he was the guy who was going to tailor that offense around Ryan Tannehill. So how does Tannehill fit into Bill Lazor's offense, and what happened to the chemistry he had with Sherman?
Well, Mike Sherman's offense just wasn't creative enough. You know, Mike Wallace, the wide receiver, stayed planted on the right side. He never moved. He never went in motion. He was there. The defense always knew where he was going to be so they could plan for that. Now you're seeing things such as Mike Wallace going in motion and other guys going in motion to create some mismatches. You're seeing Ryan Tannehill use his athleticism a little bit more on some rollouts and some read options. It's a more creative offense that Bill Lazor is bringing. And so far, it's been a good fit for Ryan Tannehill. Now, you know, a lot of what we've seen so far, I will caution it by this, has been short and intermediate passes. And, you know, last season, Tannehill had a problem throwing deep to Mike Wallace. And it wasn't Mike Wallace. It was errant passes. They were short. They were long. They were out of bounds. So this offense is good for what it's done right now. And that's just kind of show itself. But if the Dolphins really need to score, if they're, you know, down by 10 with 6 minutes to go, we'll see if Tannehill can both throw deep and if he can get the pass protection that he needs to have enough time to throw deep. But so far, so good with this offense.
Hey, Chris, I would imagine, even though it's limited work so far, that a lot of, you touched on this a minute ago, a lot of eyes are going to be focused on that newly constituted offensive line that Miami has this year, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's a zone blocking scheme, which is what they used with under Mike Sherman. But now they think that they have better fits for the scheme. Last year, they still had a lot of Tony Sperano guys, the former Dolphins coach, obviously. And he had road graders. You know, he had big, heavy guys who were run blockers. Now they're hoping that they have more agile guys to move around a little bit more. Still, you know, still remains to be seen how good they are. They allowed 58 sacks last year, and it wasn't totally the fault of the offensive line. Tannehill had held the ball a couple of times too long. Running backs and tight ends missed some blocks, but predominantly offensive line. That's why they made the change. And by the way, speaking of offensive line, you know, Mike Pouncey did tell our paper, the Sun Sentinel, that he thinks that he would be healthy enough to play in the season opener. Now, wow. Nobody thinks that that's going to happen. You know, he had the hip surgery in his left labrum. But he's doing more out there in rehab. So if they can get Pouncey back earlier than expected, maybe second, third week, maybe, and you have Brandon Albert, the Pro Bowl left tackle out there, that helps the offensive line tremendously.
Hey, Chris, the news on the defensive side of the ball has mostly been off the field the last few weeks with the suspension of Rashad Jones announced last week, and Deion Jordan's going to be out for four games. That's a big hit. I mean, those are two of the better defenders on that roster, right?
Yeah, definitely. Rashad Jones is a veteran, and they just signed him last year to the 4-year, $30 million contract, $15 million guaranteed. And, you know, what I thought was interesting was we asked Rashad after the game, did you think about appealing the ruling? And he said no. There was no reason. There was no need to, which, you know, tells me he knows that he was caught. So Joe Philbin very frustrated because Rashad is a veteran. You know, Deion Jordan, you know, we did see him put on 15 pounds of muscle during the offseason, which I'm not saying that, you know, he used PEDs to do it. But he did do that, and maybe because he's a young player, he used something that was forbidden. But Rashad Jones is a veteran. He should know, you know, to get his stuff checked out, whatever he's using. So, the bottom line is they are going to be without two key defensive players. And, you know, the defense, one disappointment was the tackling. Very poor tackling out there against Atlanta. And the other disappointment, they weren't disruptive. No sacks, no quarterback hurries, no turnovers.
Hmm. Well, Chris, you know, it's the Bills, the Dolphins, and the Jets, all three of these teams hoping to somehow, you know, mount a challenge to the Patriots in the AFC East. Which one do you think is most likely to do it this year?
You know, there's been a lot of talk around about that, and a lot of people have said it's all going to depend on whose quarterback plays the best. And I could kind of agree with that, except I think the Dolphins are better off hoping that the defense leads the way. Tannehill is going to be improved, but I don't know how much better he's going to be. So it is a quarterback league, and I think that, you know, a lot of it is going to come down to quarterback play for the Bills, Jets, and Dolphins. But I think for the Dolphins' sake, they better hope that the defense leads them to the playoffs, because I'm not real sure that offensive line is going to allow Tannehill to do a whole lot.
Chris, it's always great to talk with you. Thank you very much. We hope to get a chance to talk to you again.
Okay, anytime, John.
Chris Perkins covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Some news down there tonight with the report that Brady Quinn is ready to sign and perhaps challenge for the backup quarterback job behind Ryan Tannehill. And, of course, the news coming out over the last few weeks about the suspensions, Deion Jordan and Rashad Jones, very significant suspensions on the defensive side of the ball for Miami. They are here Sunday, September 14th, week two of the season, first home game. So circle that on your calendar. We'll come back and talk more about the Bills and about the next few days. And we welcome your phone calls. Any more thoughts you might have on last Friday's game against Carolina? Phone lines open 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
A couple of minutes left in the show here tonight. We're in our studio, our One Bills Drive studio. We'll be here again tomorrow night. Going to head out to practice, 8 a.m. practice tomorrow at Fisher. It's going to be a long day. Watch practice, do some interviews, get some stuff together for the show, come back here and do the show here tomorrow night. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we'll be coming to you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, from the confluence of those three rivers as we cover the Bills and the Steelers. They're practicing in Latrobe, about 50 minutes outside Pittsburgh. We'll go out there, watch some practice, and do some interviews, and come back and do the radio show from downtown Pittsburgh, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. Sticking with the Bills, coming to you live from Pittsburgh all this week. We have a few minutes left here. If you have any other thoughts, leftover thoughts from Friday's win over Carolina, 20-18 win over the Carolina Panthers. Phone lines open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. If you want one more look or some thoughts on that, go make sure you go to BuffaloBills.com. There's a couple of interesting things there, including Duke Williams wired for sound. Bills safety Duke Williams wired for sound against the Panthers. Our man Jay Harris produces this show, also mic'd him up, edited together a piece. Jay, it shows some interesting stuff of Duke Williams playing against Carolina, right? Some all-access behind-the-scenes video and audio that you don't see anywhere else.
No, and when I do these pieces, you actually get inside the player and to know their demeanor on the field. And it's real interesting, not only for the fans, but for me as well, because were on the sidelines most of the time, you don't really get that up close and personal persona from a player. So, yeah, it's good stuff. I enjoy doing these, and I hope the fans do as well.
Check it out at BuffaloBills.com. Duke Williams, Wired for Sound. Alexander Vitale has Anthony Dixon one-on-one interview under review. And a lot more things up there now. The BuffaloBills.com, our website, that's where you go for to catch up on what's going on with the Bills. And, of course, we'll be active out there at training camp tomorrow. If you miss portions of our show, you can pick it up at BuffaloBills.com/John Murphy Show. So there's that. Getting set to go to Pittsburgh for the Bills to get together with the Pittsburgh Steelers with a joint practice on Wednesday afternoon, another one on Thursday night. Yesterday at training camp, E.J. Manuel was asked his view of these upcoming workouts with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, very excited about it. I know a bunch of teams have already had dual practices with other teams, so I'm really looking forward to getting together with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm very good friends with Coach Tomlin. He's from the same area I'm at and I'm from. And I saw him a few weeks ago before I came back here. So, you know, he told me whatever look he needs on defense, he'll give it to us and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be very competitive, but we'll try to treat it like 3 days of a game. You know, each day of practice, even though it's a practice, we'll try to treat it like a game. Oh, yeah, it's going to be competitive. Right. Well, as a quarterback, I embrace it because the more looks I can get that alive, the better for me. You know, the more at-bats and the more reps I can get versus a defense that's different than our own, because we're not going to play these guys on Sundays. We're going to be playing different people that we don't know. So that's, you know, I'm just going to take advantage of that each and every day I can. And I know the O-line's excited about it. They get a chance to go against some other defenders and bow up against those guys. So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, EJ, of course, he'll have the red jersey on, so he doesn't have to worry about the contact. But I think it'll be good. I think it'll be, and a couple of players have mentioned it now. Landon Cohen said it on our show tonight. It will be close to game speed, close to game action out there for those two practices when they get in 11-on-11 teamwork. And I think that's important. It's going to be an important couple of workouts for E.J. Manuel, I think, to get a look at a different style of defense, one that he struggled against last year. And I think a defense that will be very competitive as it was, for instance, yesterday at camp, it'll be even more so coming up on the Wednesday and Thursday at Pittsburgh. So we look forward to that. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Pete Cargis, our engineer, Jay Harris, our producer, and the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. Right back here tomorrow night with another one, 7 o'clock, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.